what is it? January 10th. There you go. I was going to say the 8th. I'm a little behind. January 10th, 2021. It looks like the gift of 2020 continues. You say, what gift? Well, let me ask you this question. In 2018, could you have sung these words and meant it? In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. When I am alone, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. When I come to die, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. Was that your mentality in 2018? How about now? You tired of this world? You tired of what's going on? See, the gift of 2020, which is continuing to 2021, the gift was an irrefutable reminder that life is fleeting and finite, that we are not in control. Death marches on. Political corruption continues. Sin abounds. You say, how is that a gift? Well, if you're trusting in and banking on that which is only going to fail you, that's a horrible thing. But if you become aware of that, and then you bank on that which will never fail you, then, through the bad, you just came to the best. A couple months ago, people were already making jokes. October. Can we just put up our Christmas tree now, then take it down and call it a year? Why? Because at midnight? Right? As January 1st clicked to 2021, all of a sudden, death, disease, dying, divisions, wars, sin was going to go away? You see, we got reminded what many people have known for years and for centuries. We back up just right before COVID, right? Go back 13 months. Would you want to be in Venezuela? We just prayed for them earlier. The Johnsons and their ministry there can't even get basic food or medicine. That was before COVID. That was before the election and what happened last week. But that's another country. What's that got to do with us? That's why in 2020 God gave you a gift. And everyone in the world. And a wake-up call. You placate yourself with skateboards and video games and coffee and food and movies. But the reality is, death is always knocking at your door. And the door of the loved ones around you. And all that you know and all that you have, whether you like it or don't like it, is passing away. But if you come to know that, and you come to have faith in the one who has been raised from the dead, that's the worst thing that being taken from us, right? Is life. But the one who has been raised from the dead, if your faith is in Him, then not only can you press on and persevere, but you can do so with true joy and peace, confidence and hope. A month ago, everyone was banking on a new year. That's the year when things will get better. They didn't. Will they? For some things, maybe. Maybe not. But as time continues to tick on, and day leads to day, death marches on. Corruption in leadership continues. Sin, including your own, continues. So what then should we bank on? How about the one who's been raised from the dead? The one who cannot die again. The one who has overcome our greatest enemy, death. A couple weeks ago, from 2 Corinthians, I preached a sermon and called it God's Will for Us in 2021. Today's passage reminds us to look beyond 2021, beyond 2022, beyond the transition of presidents or the next election, beyond vaccines or that vacation you're looking forward to, beyond the next episode of Stupid and Stupider, beyond the next toy or trinket that placates you for the moment. You see, we've been in Vanity Fair. Who doesn't know what Vanity Fair is? Not the magazine. Right? Pilgrim's Progress. Christian gets there. There is so much to get your attention. So many shiny things and pleasures and wonderful things. We've been in Vanity Fair, but that came to a screeching halt for us. It was non-existent for many in the world prior to March of 2020. Came to a screeching halt. Freedoms, privileges, jobs taken away, sickness, death. All that happened really was a spotlight got turned on reality. Some things got accelerated, heat got turned up. Does this mean it's the end? I don't know. If we were living in a different country at a different time, we could have been saying the same things for different reasons. We've just been reminded of that. We've been reminded of that, and that is a gift. Whether you see it as one or not, it's a gift. Reality is being forced upon us. And if in that we turn to Christ and not a new year or a new job or a new president or a new vaccine or a new widget, then we will have something far greater than if we never experienced 2020. Our passage here this morning is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 and 18. Join me in prayer before we read it. Father, it is our tendency to be comfortably numb. To be neither hot nor cold, to get lukewarm, to lose our first love, we would be incredibly arrogant to think that we would never deserve the rebukes there for the churches in Revelation. The rebukes and exhortations here in the fourth letter to the church at Corinth. We need the exhortation given to them. We've always needed it. They needed it in 50-something A.D. We needed it in 2018. We need it now. Just maybe, we're more aware of the fact that we need this now. Father, I pray that in your mercy we would be. Whether we're here this morning already as your children or still living in darkness, Father, open our eyes, enlighten our hearts, grant us to see the unseen, to behold ultimate reality and that which is eternal. And to live in light of it. To live in light of Jesus Christ raised from the dead, yet to return. Father, if you go to your word, speak to our hearts, minds, and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. 16 to 18, just three verses. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Again, Paul is continuing to school them on true New Covenant ministry and the realities of a true New Covenant minister, in his case as an apostle. But what we gain here for us in the here and now is a greater exhortation to look beyond whatever in this life we may be looking to. That we would have a immovable foundation upon which to stand, a rock solid basis for purpose, joy, and peace in life, despite you fill in the blank. Despite COVID, politics, recession, disease, whatever it might be, despite that, we have here in this passage a call to not lose heart, or to not faint, or to not give up, but to continue, and not drudgingly or begrudgingly, but with a joy and a peace that surpasses human understanding. And to have that, to live that out, requires us to understand, to believe and remember something we so easily lose sight of, and to pay attention to the opposite of which we are so inclined and naturally tend to pay attention to. Verse 16, so. In other words, since, or in light of, all that came before it. Chapter 4, verse 1, since we have this ministry by the mercy of God. Verse 6, since the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Since we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Since we know that He who raised, verse 14, the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with each other into His presence. So, we do not lose heart. We do not grow faint. We do not give up. We do not give up. Though, even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. It's actually a little more violent and active than wasting away. Our outer self is being destroyed. When you think about that bike that's been left out in the yard in the rain, there's rust on it, right? You might say it's decaying, but you also could say it's being destroyed. Rust is actively eating away at it. And that's what's going on in this life. We're dying from the day we're born. We are being destroyed. Physically. It's undeniable, though we deny it. Till it happens, till it's too late. We remain comfortably numb and ignore the fact that we will one day be fertilizer. And the younger we are, the more we want to ignore that. And as parents and adults, it's kind of have that tendency to not want to put your kids into that position to face that reality and think about it. But that's not loving. Churches used to have cemeteries as part of their property. What a reminder every time you gather. Headstone after headstone. Death is real. It's undeniable by our physical realities. The older we get, the more undeniable that is. But for the Christian, while death marches on and actively is at work in destroying us, while corruption is there in every way, shape, and form in this world, the Christian, the inner person, the inner self, by the very presence of the Spirit of God in us, 1 Corinthians, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit dwells in you? The Christian is actually being renewed. There's a transformation going on. Chapter 3, if you just glance over, verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Back to verse 16, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Renewed, same thing that's said there in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. But be transformed. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewed of your mind. The Christian is being renewed, transformed in our mind and our hearts day by day. That process of sanctification, of being set apart in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. That's what's going on for the Christian. Because the Spirit of God is in us, having sealed us. If our faith is in Christ, we are sealed as belonging to Him. And God is already at work in us. And though that work is not physically visible, it is there and it is real. And it's in juxtaposition with, in opposition to the fact that death actively is at work to destroy. Physically, particularly for the apostles, but for Christians suffering par for the course because of Christ. Back up in verses 7 and 8 and 9. Afflicted but not crushed. Perplexed but not driven to despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying the body, in the body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. That new creation that is internal and spiritual only right now for the Christian, because of the work of Christ, and the fact that He has been raised from the dead, and will return to bring us into His presence, that we would share in His glory, that is our reason. That is our basis for moving forward. 2020, 21, 22, whenever, wherever. And having a continued, consistent purpose and joy and peace. See, the Corinthians were looking down upon Paul, starting to despise him because he was just unimpressive in every way, shape, and form, physically, humanly speaking, and as a speaker. And he had problems in every town he went to. And Paul says, this is the way it is. And that doesn't cause us to give up. On the contrary, that's the reality. Jars of clay, cracked pots, earthen vessels. Struggles and trials. Physical self being destroyed. But the inner self, by the Spirit dwelling in us, there is a renewal day by day. That was true in 2018. Everyone was actively being destroyed, including the Christian. And the Christian was being renewed day by day. It's no more or less true now. It's just maybe more obvious than should be. But to have that confidence and hope, that peace and joy, instead of losing heart or growing faint or giving up, there's something we must understand and keep in mind. Verse 17. This light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. It kind of goes like this, actually. For the light, momentary affliction, that it's as nothing compared to the eternal glory of glory, weight of glory that is exceeding, beyond exceeding. The words are piled on. And the visual is kind of this. Everyone knows what a scale is that weighs things, right? You put something on one side and you get something on the other side to see what they weigh, right? Well, on this side, your left, you put, according to this verse, according to the reality that is true only in Christ, you put on this side of the scale, on that plate, whatever you want about this life. COVID? Politics? Relational issues? Disease, dying, you put it all there. Persecution for faith in Christ. Affliction. Having your homes taken from you because of Christ. Book of Hebrews. You put it all there. And the scale goes like this. Like this, right? It tilts down. And then you go to the other side. And you put on it the eternal weight of glory. The reality of what has begun in the Christian through faith in Christ, that will be fulfilled when Christ returns and we share in His beauty and His splendor and His glory. And you know what happens to that which is on the left side of the scale? The current afflictions and trials and problems. When you put the glory of Christ to turn on the other side of the scale, it just flips and like tiddlywinks. The afflictions and whatever it is goes flying because it doesn't weigh anything. It doesn't match up. It doesn't matter. It doesn't compare to what is yet to come. But we're here and now, people, by default. And that is what we must fight. We must fight. What do children think? They think they're invincible. I chuckle constantly as I now tell my kids what I heard growing up. You know, you really ought to put a jacket on. It's cold out. And you're going to get a chill. I'll be fine. A few minutes later, they're freezing, right? No, I wouldn't bank on that. I wouldn't spend money on that. You know, you're going to regret it. Been there, done that. Then they go and do it. In raising Jesus from the dead, God said bank on Him and only on Him. Not your investment portfolio. Not your relationship even with your own spouse. Not your job, not your country, not anything but Jesus. And the trials and the troubles and the physical infirmities of Christians is not, ha, you're wrong. It's, understand, that's the current physical reality. But as a Christian, you're being renewed day by day. And the weight or the value of that current physical reality is as nothing compared to what is yet to come. And that's what we're all trying to get without Christ. We're trying to get what He'll bring about. We're trying to get what He'll bring about. You know, when someone tells me, oh, they got more cures than they're telling us about all kinds of things, and I'm like, but even if they do cure cancer of every kind, something else is going to kill us. Because only Christ conquers death. That's not to say we shouldn't have doctors and research and trying to do what we can to alleviate suffering and pain and death. That by the grace of God. But there will be something else. You can try and cryo-freeze yourself and you're going to stay a popsicle until Christ returns. Because only He has conquered death. What are you banking on? Is it things getting better in this life? They're not going to. Not ultimately. Death will still happen. But for those who are in Christ, the transformation that will ultimately take place when He returns has already begun internally. And the current trials and troubles and disappointments and difficulties don't actually weigh anything. They're nothing compared to the final, physical, eternal fulfillment of what Christ has secured through His death and resurrection. C.S. Lewis has the example of a child wanting to just play in his mud puddle, making mud pies, when he's been offered a day at the beach or the amusement park. Right. Hey kids, what do you want to do? Do you want to continue to make little mud pies here in the mud puddle, or you want to go to Disney World? Well, we adults are making mud pies. Everything in this life is like a mud pie. Anyone know what a mud pie is? You know, it's a pie made of mud. As soon as the next rain comes, it's back to dirt. It doesn't last. It does not remain. We must understand, believe, remember the eternal reality that is there, yet to be physically fulfilled. I start out with some words from a song. There's another song. I think it was Wayne Watson, Christian song back in the 80s. But the lyrics go like this. One day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't remain the same. As days go by, I hope I don't remain the same. I want to get so close to Him that on the day that Jesus calls my name, it'll be no big change. Physically, it will be a big change. But our concern is our transformation into the likeness of Christ here and now. And His means, His training program, His school, our afflictions, they are preparing for us. They are working out for us. They are the process by which we come to an eternal weight of glory, exceedingly exceeding beyond all exceedingness. And we must keep that in mind and never lose sight of that. And we do that by paying very close attention to what we can't see. That's verse 18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Why? For, because the things that are seen are transient, like a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. Like the wonderful green grass out there that I so appreciate this time of year. I love it. It pops up. It's that green color, winter grass. It's beautiful, I think. It turns these brown, flat fields into this vibrant green. But what's going to happen in a few months? Rains will slow down, stop, sun stays out, and that beautiful green winter grass will be gone. So too are our lives. We don't realize it or think about that when we're 8 or 10. Just turned 13, going on 15, 18, 21, 22, looking forward to getting married. 25, 30, prime of my life. But it's true. The things that we're looking at all around us they can be brought to ash in no time flat. We've seen it happen in a half an hour in 2017. What a gift. What a gift. A reminder, this is not our home. We must pay close attention to, that's the idea there, as we look not to, as we pay close attention not to, so the opposite is implied, we're to pay close attention to that which is eternal, not transient, everlasting, not temporary, that which is unseen. How do we do that? Colossians chapter 3. Fix your minds on things above, not on things below. We're in this world. We have to deal in this world and function in this world. But what is it that our minds are fixed upon? Is it the stats of every player on our favorite sports team? The current stock market numbers? The polls for politics? Every character in our favorite video game and what power they have? What are we paying close attention to? If our life is in Christ, then it will appear when He appears. That's from Colossians chapter 3. So right now, though living in this world and dealing with this world, and of course we have to interact with this world, and we make decisions and we buy things and we marry and we have a relationship, but we pay close attention to that which is eternal. And there is nothing more contrary to our nature than that. So that means it's a constant, daily battle. To remember the truth of the eternal reality in Christ, that only He has conquered death, that only He can bring about peace. First, between God and man, and then between man and man. Only He is the conqueror of death and brings in the reality where there is only righteousness. No more sin, disease, and dying. What are you paying attention to? What is your mind fixed on? If I was to ask one of our youngest people in this room, I doubt highly that she fixes her thoughts on things that you, who are 13, 15, 25, 50, fix your mind on. And of course not. She's a child. And the things that she's concerned about, she won't be concerned about them in a year. 2 years. Oh, how quickly it changes. My son sold all his Legos a while ago now. What are you? What are we paying close attention to? Fix our minds on things above, not on things below. Paul says in verse 18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We have the Word of God in fellowship with one another. Our transformation continually into likeness of Christ, sanctification, evangelism and the salvation of souls. These are the things that will always matter. So they are the things that we're to pay a close attention to now. Banking not on a better year in 2021, or at this point, we're probably already saying, well, 2022, or whatever. But on the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And we know that He who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up together with Him. And so we don't
grow weary. We don't give up. We don't give in. We continue on with a peace, a confidence, purpose, and joy that cannot be robbed by anything in this life. We're to be looking beyond 2021. That's not our hope. We're looking to Jesus returning whenever He returns. We live in the here and now in light of the not yet, but what is sure to come. And may the songs mentioned be our songs. Whether it's the morning, whether we're alone, whatever we're facing, may we be right there saying, just give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Even if things get better with COVID and better with politics and better with finances, and you can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. And as days go by, I hope I don't remain the same. May I get so close to Him that on the day He calls my name, it's no big change. Not as far as the inner spiritual person goes. But externally, it'll be a big change. And that which is coming far outweighs whatever's going on now. The good, the bad, and the ugly. May we not lose sight of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for life in Christ. We believe, help us to believe, and to be looking forward to His return, to be looking to heaven from where our Savior will return. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear with Him in glory. Father in heaven, may that be our perspective. Always, continually, and more so each day. Whether we're here this morning and we're 5 or 85. Have mercy upon our souls. Grant us that which is not transient and passing away, but what is everlasting. May our faith be in Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, for the forgiveness of our sins. And may we live Christ more so each day. Whatever year we're in, wherever we're living, whatever is going on. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe a strange benediction passage, but I'm going to send you off from the Colossians passage I keep referring to. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory, to His glory. And all God's people said, amen.